He says, I am not guilty of anything, and I give my life for your sins. And, well, why does that work? Because the Father accepts it. That's why. Because the Father accepts it. He says, okay, I'll take it. I'll take that deal. We deserve to die. We don't deserve to live. We know none of us did anything to earn a life. And here we are alive. And it's like, you know, I remember when they used to talk about the rich being the winners of life's lottery. Really, we're all the winners of life's lottery. Because when I was conceived, I was in the running with about 1 million other sperm. They wanted to be born. And there were a lot of eggs that got passed by and menstrual periods and a lot of nocturnal emissions and birth control devices and so on and so forth getting in the way of a lot of people. And those who get conceived are already winners, big winners. And we don't deserve anything more than we get. A little life and then death. What makes us think we ought to live forever? The veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, signifying that Christ had made the way open to the holiest place of all. The veil separated the place where everyone was allowed to go to the place where only the high priest was allowed to go. Not everyone, I mean everyone who was allowed. You know, I mean like the other priests, the people. It separated the common Jewish people from the holiest of all. And beyond the place where the Jews were, there was the court of the Gentiles even farther out. Only the Jews could come to the inner court, and then there was the holiest of all, where only the high priest could go once a year, and not without blood. And the veil that separated that place from the common place of the people was rent, ripped open. And they, through his death, through his body, his sacrifice, we have access to the Father by the Son. And what it basically means, we can go directly to the Son and we have access to the Father. By the Son, we have direct access. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Because his body, the breaking of his body, represents the breaching of that separation. So that we could become sons of God. And heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So that he would look at us and not say servants, but say brothers. That's the thing. I remember, you know, a lot of people have this misunderstanding about Christianity. They're like, I remember a band, I have enjoyed their work from time to time, but they just made a comment basically suggesting that, you know, to go to heaven is you serve in heaven and you rule in hell. It's just the opposite. That when to be an heir of eternal life, we become rulers with God. We become the brothers of Jesus. And those who go down to death serve death. And I tell you what, it's a really boring service. There's no parties down in the flames. There aren't. The flames, once they burn you, you know what it is? Blackness and darkness. No consciousness. Your thoughts will perish. And you will not even feel resentment anymore. Nothing. Nothing. That's why it says you'll be removed from God's presence. And God is everywhere. And you'll be nowhere. And nothing. Verse 40. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joses and Salome, who also when he was in Galilee followed him and ministered unto him. And many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came, and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave up the body to Joseph. Pilate was amazed how quickly Jesus died. You know, maybe that's a key to why the centurion thought he was the Son of God. Because he seemed to lay his life down at will. He died before the others. He died. You know, he said in John chapter 10, he says, because I lay down my life for the sheep, I lay my life down and I'm able to take it up. Jesus went to the crucifixion willingly and he suffered as much as he thought the Father's will said he should suffer. And when he had suffered everything, fulfilled all the scriptures, he said, it is finished, as John records, and gave up the ghost and instantly died. You know, I could say it is finished and just linger on for hours, but Jesus said it is finished and died. And I think the centurion saw this guy crucified, which is not a quick way to die. And he wasn't beaten so severely like they show in the Passion of the Christ that he would die, because that would have killed him alone. If he'd been beaten like they showed in the Passion of the Christ, and I get criticized for saying this, he would have died on the whipping block. They didn't even use the right kind of whip. The Shroud of Turin says they used a flagrum taxilatum that had little dumbbells of lead on it. And I'm disappointed that a Catholic like Mel Gibson would screw that up. And I like the movie. I do. It's a beautiful, hyperbole, really, of Christ suffering. And that's why I object to it to some degree, because it is a bit of a hyperbole. I would have liked to have seen something really accurate to what's seen on the Shroud. I'd like to see Shroud, the movie. You know, where they would look at the thing and they would make a guy up to look just like he had looked, with a crown of thorns that's like a cap, like they did in the East. Not a circular Catholic crown, but the one according as they showed on the Shroud, and using the kind of things they used for the crown of thorns. Because it wasn't like thorn, like they always show these big branches and stuff. It was like, you ever see those really prickly nettles that grow? You know, the ones that are the most awful things that grow in the grass. If you live in the Midwest or probably the East or the United States, it's that horrible. But they have it in Palestine, something very similar. Those purpley flowers and very, very sharp little thorns. I would have liked to have seen something like that. He laid his life down at will. He was up there. He didn't have to die yet. He should have lingered for hours longer. And the centurion's watching. He's like, it is finished. And the guy dies. And he's like, whoa, that was marvelous. How he just laid his life down like that. He just died at will. And that impressed him. Because I tell you what, people can live. But who can just stand there and just say, all right, time to die. Bam, dead. That's a miracle in and of itself, that he would just die. Just die. He could end it at any moment, and he chose that moment to end it. When he fulfilled all things, it was a little early for the suffering of the cross, but he didn't have to suffer eternally up there. So people always try to, that's another thing they try to say, is that Jesus suffered an eternity because he has to fulfill the eternity of suffering that's going to go on in hell. It's all hogwash. Don't listen to that. Listen to my Bible studies.